If you're free a little later this morning and love to just be in a great music setting again, the cantata happens at 10:45. Pray for that to go well, and it'll be a blessing to that service also. At Christmas time, it's great to look at the Bible and get renewed in our faith. And in the Christmas story, there are three major rulers mentioned that people knew back then and had a lot of fear of, and these folks had a lot of power. And they're put in the story to be contrasted with the real King, Jesus, who was coming. And just to take note of them a little bit and what they were like. The first one that was mentioned in one of the stories is Herod, the king of Judea. And Herod was a very violent man, very selfish man. He was a deceiver. He told wise men, well, tell me about Jesus' birth so I could go worship him too. But he really was not interested in that. He was into self-protection. Did one of the greatest crimes in history, having all the baby boys 2 years and under done away with. And shortly after the Christmas story gets started, we see Herod gone. Thank the Lord. He is gone very soon after Jesus was born. Quirinius is mentioned, the governor of Syria. Syria is a very large area. Must have been a man of great responsibility. Syria has always been a painful area to rule over and is still so today. And difficulties constantly in that land. So there's Quirinius. And biggest of all, Caesar Augustus, emperor of the whole Roman Empire. And I think his uncle was Julius Caesar, a little more popular, and he was murdered. But Caesar Augustus insisted on being worshipped as a god. And people would burn incense to him and pray to him. In a sad act of desperation, you know, would Caesar Augustus help me when my life was troubled and a big mess? And, of course, none of these rulers, Herod or Quirinius or Caesar Augustus, would help the people ultimately, or bring salvation to them. The three rulers really represent man's attempt to achieve glory on his own. And you and I can get into that pretty easily with our fallen nature. To achieve glory or to work our way to some kind of heaven or paradise in our own strength. Someone said there's only two kind of faiths in the whole world. One faith says man works for salvation. And the other faith says God works to give salvation. And you can just check your own heart. And which faith did you live out this past week? Man works to attain salvation, or God works to bring salvation? That's the good news of what Jesus came to do for us. The three rulers also represent an attempt by people or attempt by man to live an extraordinary life. And perhaps be the center of a whole nation, or at least a place where you and I live, or a whole empire. And sometimes at Christmas, we impersonate those kings. We knock ourselves out to have a great Christmas or a great life. Storm the shopping malls, decorate to the max, cook and eat like there's no tomorrow. Done those things already. And even pack the church wall-to-wall with people on Christmas Eve, Lord willing. An attempt at the extraordinary Christmas. One pastor I knew of was given a really expensive, beautiful tie to wear around Christmas time. And his loved one who gave him the tie said, put this on. Even if you don't have anything important to say, you will look nice. And sometimes that's our feeble attempt at Christmas to say, hey, we strive to make ourselves extraordinary. Well, at Christmas, God worked mostly in ordinary conditions. And God moved in Nazareth and Bethlehem. Those were two very small, insignificant towns. The Bible comments on Nazareth and Bethlehem in other places. Nazareth, can anything good come out of there, out of Nazareth? Bethlehem, small among the clans of Judah, least among the rulers. And it would be like me this morning telling you, I have good news to tell you in this area. My apologies to these towns. Someone took a trip from Zelianople to Waynesburg, and it changed the whole universe. You would say, You've got to be kidding. Bethlehem and Nazareth, not Rome and Jerusalem, but God working in the ordinary. There were other ordinary moments at Christmas to take note of. Mary and Joseph, no claim to fame up to that point in their lives. In fact, starting off in a troubled marriage, rocky family life. Pretty ordinary experience. Shepherds working the third shift out with the animals. Taxes to be paid. No room at the inn. Who made these vacation plans? It was not our ideal. A baby bundled up in clothes. And when you think about it, 98% of our life is lived in the ordinary. That's where we're at. Most of the time. I remember one of the biggest put-downs I received from a school teacher who's trying to be motivational, but it really didn't help me much, was in math class. I tried real hard, 12th grade math, to attain things, and I kept getting C's. And so he handed me a paper one time with my normal grade effort of a C, and he said, "There you are, Daniels, still wallowing in the depths of mediocrity." I wanted to say, "But I make an A in English sometimes." Didn't matter. There are extraordinary times in our lives, births, graduations, weddings. 10 days out of the year we say are holidays. That word came from the word holy days. 10 of them. But most of the time, it's go to work, pay the bills, clean the house, go to 8:30 worship. That's where we live and move and have our being in God. That's also where we meet God most of the time. God shows up in the ordinary, not achieved by what people do or pump up, but received. God's glory received by anybody who has a need. And someone's Bible commentator said, sometimes with Jesus we want too much pizzazz and not enough daily walk. We want an affair with Jesus or a fling where we see him only occasionally and we get real excited about him. But a daily relationship with him, we're still learning to love. And that commitment that he brings to us. Once a group of people were asked, what's the most wonderful times of worship for you as a Christian? And it was great to hear all the responses. All the great gatherings were mentioned. Thanksgiving, Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, Easter Sunday. Special times where special events occurred. One person raised their hand and simply said, every Lord's Day with Jesus. Because you can't top him. You can't top him. I remember having a conversation in our house. Do we put up a Christmas tree this year? We got a ceramic Christmas tree. A little thing that, you know, lights up the house a little bit. Brings a little message there. Put a manger scene under it, and it's as good as any tree in the county. But do we get a tree? Well, someone said it's just not Christmas without a Christmas tree. How about the lights? Got to put the lights up, just not Christmas without the lights. But the message of Christ, just not Christmas without Christ. Without Christ coming to us in the ordinary. And he made the lights. He made the tree. He made these beautiful poinsettias that people said, I give in memory of a loved one. He made all the beautiful decorations put up. He made you and I decorating the praises of heaven today with our songs, our prayers, be they joyful or desperate. What happens after Jesus was born? What happens in the story to all those people like you and I? Well, the shepherds go back to work. They do return, the Bible says, and they do praise God. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, of all places, go to Egypt. Not a pleasant place to be, a place of isolation, loneliness. I have to wait till things get better. That was part of that Christmas experience. God was with them there. And then after that, back to reality, back to Nazareth, working as a carpenter. Quiet years of faithfulness. Jesus would have a few squabbles with his parents. Normal. The ordinary is still there, but Jesus has invaded the ordinary for you and me. The Bible says the Word became flesh and lived among us for a while. We saw His glory even in Galilee. Galilee, where Jesus did most of His ministry, was right near pagan territory. There was a lot of unbelief around. God said, I'm going to work there to really help people. And there's a story that helps us see Jesus in the ordinary when He comes to tell us what our lives can be. Ordinary but precious to Him. Story of a young lion cub who got lost from its mother. And so it was raised by goats. And the goats took care of the lion cub. And pretty soon the lion cub to fit in looked like a goat, talked like a goat, made noises like a goat, and ate goat food. He began to think, I must be a goat too. I'm right here with the rest of the goats. One day the father lion showed up, gave a big roar, and all the goats ran away. Very intimidated and afraid by him. Except that one little lion cub, he's afraid, and yet he says, there's a reason why this lion is here. My heart doesn't want to run away from him. My heart's drawn to him. He doesn't know why. So the big lion picks up the little lion, takes him to a pond, puts him there, and the little one looks at what is really his loved one, his character in the future, looks at the lion, looks at his own reflection in the pond, looks again, looks at his own reflection in the pond, begins to think, with this one's help, my character could be like that of this one, my character, my heart. Maybe I'm not a goat after all. Maybe I could be a lion in the ordinary. And at Christmas time, it's not a holiday break temporarily from our goat life. It's not just to make us devout goats, you know, pagan at heart, but trying to be close to God. But God, the Son, became a man to share His love, His character, His heart with us, His salvation to anybody who would say, yeah, I think Christ came for me. And nothing in our ordinary life escapes Jesus. That's part of the good news that He comes to bring. Jesus fills the ordinary. The shepherds, Bethlehem, eventually Nazareth, eventually the whole world, eventually your heart and my heart. And so what do we do after Christmas? Pay some bills. And for the shepherds, they were at work. We go back to work, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. When you go back to your ordinary work, look for the angel of the Lord to appear to you. They go shopping again, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them. They bake Christmas cookies, eat Christmas cookies, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them. And Jesus' ministry was to those who perhaps were longing to be extraordinary but would meet an extraordinary Savior. And remember, when Jesus did His ministry, He did not fail to reach out to that which considered itself ordinary. He spoke of a dead sparrow. He spoke about the number of hairs on our head. He stopped for a woman who would reach out just to touch His garment. He would stop for any sick person who asked for help. He would stop for any sinner who said, I need a new life with God. Now God's glory is everywhere, even in the ordinary. So as we celebrate Christmas, don't go back to a goat life. Even though you might pretend to be a goat. With the Lord, live a life as His glorious child that He came to make us to be. And look for the angel of the Lord to appear to us. That's the glory of Christ filling His creation, filling our lives with His presence. Might God's blessing be with you in these days, glorious days, troubling days, ordinary days to meet the Savior. Let's pray together as His people. Father, bless us according to Your word, and might Jesus be known as Lord in all the celebrations of this time of year, the very center. Might every red and green item we see remind us of Christ's faithfulness, his shed blood given for the forgiveness of sins. Might every quiet gathering or every alone or desperate moment be a time to say, the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and we heard good news of great joy. Work your work among us by your kindness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.